I hear from his wife, Doris, oh, just every little bit, get a card or a note from her. And I would say 4 out of 5 times, the scripture text she will leave at the end of her signature will be found in Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 26, or 24 through 26. It speaks of this blessing that God commanded Moses to give to Aaron to bestow upon the children of Israel after the fulfilling of the law of the Nazarite. The Lord said in verse 23, on this wise shall ye, on this wise shall ye bless Moses, God's holy law, and Aaron, God's high priest, were commanded to bless God's covenant people, but the blessing to be bestowed was only in accordance with the law of the Nazarite given in this 6th chapter of the book of Numbers. The blessing to be bestowed was only in connection with the law of the Nazarite given in this 6th chapter. The Nazarite, of course, speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. He alone fulfilled the Nazarite law and the Nazarite vow perfectly as a man. We never read of the Nazarite being taken up again, didn't read nothing about it, until we come to Judges 13, where another man who is a picture of Christ, Samson, our mighty deliverer, is given a Nazarite vow. And he symbolically fulfilled it, but he erred much in the use of that vow and in breaking that vow. Not our Savior. Christ is the Nazarite described in verses 1 through 12. He is the Nazarite sacrifice described in verses 13, 14, and 15. Christ is the Nazarite's sacrificing priest described down to verse 21. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Nazarite. He's the Nazarite sacrifice, and he's the priest who makes sacrifice for the Nazarite. And Christ alone, is the one in whom and by whom Jehovah's name is put upon his people. He and he alone is the one in and by whom the blessings of God are heaped upon our souls day after day, year after year, throughout the days of this life and in the life to come. When God gave his law to Israel by the hand of Moses, this law of the Nazarite was expanded more than almost any other law. That makes it significant. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus, is that one spoken of here as Christ the Nazarene. The Nazarene spoken of, prophesied in this chapter. Now I want you to see that clearly, because the blessing of God only comes through Christ's obedience. And it only comes through Christ's obedience by God's command. And it only comes in the experience of grace by God the Holy Ghost. So when you hear me say, God bless you. When you hear me say, God bless you, it's not because you sneezed. When you hear me say, God bless you, it's not just a word that I use by way of greeting rather than saying something else. When you hear me say, God bless you, this is what I'm talking about. I'm praying that God will grant you all the blessedness of his covenant grace in Jesus Christ, his darling Son, in your day-by-day life, in his providence, in your heart, in your soul, and to everlasting. That's the blessing of the Nazarite. Now let's get down to the end of this chapter. The Nazarite was required to make to perform his obedience, and as he did, he was required to separate himself unto the Lord God, to sanctify himself, as Christ sanctified himself unto God our Father, and sanctified himself for our sakes, that we by his obedience might be made holy as he himself is holy. And if the Nazarite should defile himself by suddenly someone dropping dead right beside him, he wasn't allowed, Jerry, to go to his daddy's funeral. He wasn't allowed to go to his mama's funeral. But if somebody dropped dead suddenly beside him, then the Nazarite had to shave his hair, and he had to offer sacrifice. He had to bring a he lamb, of the first year, a ewe lamb of the first year, and then a ram, and then he had to bring a wave offering, and then he took the hair that he shaved off of his head, and the priest put it in with the sacrifice under the fire, and everything's consumed at the altar of God, because it's the Nazarite must be pure. He must be pure. There's here no transfer of sin. Brother Lindsay and I, in preaching through Exodus, have talked a good bit about the transfer of sin. Here there's no transfer. Here it's talking about the Nazarite himself being made impure because suddenly one dead dropped dead beside him and he is unclean. When the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, was made sin for us, he stood before God guilty. Deserving of wrath, deserving of judgment, deserving of death, willingly, because he took a vow to God, a Nazarite vow, and he offers a sacrifice. His hair, the Nazarite's hair, was his strength and his glory. Our Lord Jesus, when we were made sin for us, becoming unclean, suffered the wrath of God. It's as though his hair was shaved off, his glory gone. The glory of he who sits in heaven. It's as though his glory were gone, portraying something for us. Jesus Christ, God's Son, withheld nothing. He withheld nothing. He withheld nothing. Randall, to save your soul, he didn't hold back a thing. He had nothing of his own. He had nothing said, I won't let this go. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he is God, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and he held back nothing. He gave up the very glory that he rightly possesses as God when he was made sin for us, that he might show forth his glory in the putting away of sin, by the sacrifice of himself, making his church pure before him, by the washing of his blood and the washing of regeneration in his spirit by the word of God. And now he blesses us so that it becomes a matter of righteousness, of justice, of truth, through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the Lord God Almighty, the triune Jehovah, to grant us all blessedness. All blessedness. The priest would come and he would take the sacrifice, the turtle dove, the young pigeons, and he would take the heave offering. And he, after the hair had been consumed, after all the sacrifice of the Savior had been offered, and he would wave it as an offering before the Lord. And the Nazarite is accepted. And the Nazarite being accepted, all his work accepted as a Nazarite because of this sacrifice that he has made. And the Lord Jesus, our great sacrifice, our Nazarene, our great high priest, has taken everything that is his and offers it to God. And with it, even us who are described in the Song of Solomon as his hair, which is like a flock of goats, thick, thick hair, that he'll never lose one. And he offers it before God. And as he, our Nazarene, is accepted, the perfectly obedient servant of God, so we are accepted of God in him. Now listen to me. Being accepted of God in him, we are blessed of God in him. With every blessing God, the triune Jehovah, heaps upon him for time and for eternity. Oh, my soul, if that doesn't ring your bell, I don't know what will. Being accepted in him, we are blessed of God in him and with him, with every blessing God can bestow upon a people in this world. Let's look at a text. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. Here's the blessing God commands. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. I don't know that it's the case, but I rather suspect that when our Lord, in that passage we read earlier in Luke chapter 1, as he's ascending up into heaven, stretched out his hands and blessed his people, I can hear him say, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And the Lord God says, they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. I rather suspect that's exactly what our Savior did as he was ascending up into heaven. Now, be sure you don't miss this. The word translated Lord, Jehovah, is used three times in this blessing. All three times the same word is used. But in each case, there's a slightly different accent mark in the Hebrew text, indicating there's a slightly different meaning. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, we're told in Deuteronomy. But he who is our one Lord and our one God is the triune Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So that we're here declared, in Numbers chapter 6, we're here declared by God himself, that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost, through Christ the God-man, through his obedience unto death, blesses his covenant people with all blessings. The benediction was pronounced upon the children of Israel. At the close of this public tabernacle service, and so the Lord Jesus pronounces the blessing of God upon his covenant people by the sacrifice of himself. And the text says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. That's the blessing of God the Father upon us. God the Father who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, along with electing, adopting, and justifying grace, pardoning grace, regenerating grace, calling grace, preserving grace, and eternal life. And then it says, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. That's talking about the blessing of God the Son. Through the incarnation and obedience of Christ, through the mediation of Christ, our Lord God, the triune Jehovah, makes himself known to us and causes his face to shine upon us. We see the glory of God shining in the face of Jesus Christ, his Son. And he causes us to know that he is gracious. He pours out for us all blessings, pours them out upon our heads, all the blessings of his grace. God the Father pronounces the blessedness, says this is their blessedness. God the Father makes us blessed from everlasting. God the Son comes and says, these blessings I have secured for my people. And then the text says, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. This is the blessing of God the Holy Ghost. In the sweet experience of grace, God the Holy Ghost comes to chosen, redeemed sinners and reveals Christ in us. And when he gives us life and faith in Christ, he causes us to know we're people blessed of God. God chose you. Christ redeemed you. The blessing of God's upon you. All is well for you. God is your Father. Christ is your Savior. The Spirit of God is your Comforter. All is well for you. All right, now, first we have the blessing of God our Father in these words. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. When we are urged to bless God. Bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Understand there's nothing we can do to make God more blessed. There's nothing you and I do to make God better or more than he is in himself. There's nothing we can do to make God happier or more delighted. What's it mean then? We don't wish that he'd be blessed. We don't make him blessed. We simply acknowledge that he is the blessed God. We simply acknowledge that blessedness is his. That blessedness is his. This blessedness, true delight and happiness and bliss, this is his because he is God. So continually in the scriptures, we say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Blessed be the Lord because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He who is our God is the blessed one. Turn over to that blessed familiar text in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The word is eulogized. When we bless God, we simply eulogize him. That is, we speak well of him. We say something good about God. But God eulogizes us by making us blessed. He doesn't just say something good about us. He makes us good. He doesn't just say that we're righteous. He makes us righteous. He doesn't just say that we're sanctified. He makes us sanctified. He doesn't just say that we're holy. He makes us holy. Who hath blessed us, now watch this, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God the Father has blessed us, his elect, with all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. Merle, that means there's nothing he withholds. Nothing he doesn't give. Nothing he hasn't given. All spiritual blessings given us in Christ in heavenly places before the foundation of the world. Verse 4. How is that? According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now how did he do that? Look at verse 7. In whom, that is in the beloved, in Christ his Son, in Christ the mediator, in whom we were blessed from everlasting, in whom we have redemption through his blood, that is the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. With all my heart, with all the delight of my soul, I ascribe all blessedness to my God. But I can do no less, and I can do no more. But when God blesses me, that's another thing. When God blesses us, he performs the blessedness. He blesses us in our creation and much more in the new creation. It is a blessed thing to be born. Oh my, when a baby is born into this world, what a blessed thing. But a much more blessed thing to be born again. He blesses us in our food and much more in giving us Christ, who is the bread of life and nourishment for our souls. We are blessed in being clothed, but infinitely more blessed being clothed in his righteousness, in the garments of salvation. It is a blessing to be a member of a kind, loving, happy family. But oh, my soul, what an unspeakable blessedness to be one in the family of God, the everlasting family of the eternal God, sons and daughters of the Almighty. Try, if you can, to calculate the blessedness which is ours in Christ by the hand of God. Let no man glory in men, Paul said, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos, or Cephas or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. Oh, Don Fortner, did you hear God speak? All are yours. Things past, things present, things to come. Good men, bad men, faithful men, unfaithful men. All things are yours, for ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. What a blessing it is, being redeemed by Christ's precious blood, to have sin pardoned. All sin pardoned forever. What a blessing it is to be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What a blessing to be sanctified, made holy by God the Father. What a blessing to enjoy all the privileges, all the benedictions of the new covenant. How richly, indescribably richly our God has blessed us. He's often blessed us when we didn't know it. Matter of fact, I rather suspect we know far less of God's blessings than we do, know far less of them than the things that we actually know. We look at things and think, oh, that's terrible. Wish that hadn't happened. Wish that hadn't happened. Wish that hadn't happened. God's blessings commonly come in our houses by the back door. And we don't recognize them. We fail to acknowledge them. Even when we acknowledge them, we fail, or even when we recognize them, we fail to acknowledge them. But God's blessings upon his people are constant. Let us not be ungrateful. Let us not forget his blessing is constant blessing. This will set my heart at rest. Nothing else will. What my God appoints is best. Did you get that? This will set my heart at rest. What my God appoints is best. The future may be marked with temptations, trials, and troubles. It will be blessed of God, our Father. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, all thy days shall thy strength be. Thy bread shall be given thee, thy water shall be sure. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, the flame shall not kindle upon thee. This is our blessedness. The Lord bless thee. As I say that to every believing sinner here, knowing that the Lord God will so bless you, may your soul look forward, not with dread, but with hope to tomorrow. The Lord bless thee. The Lord bless thee. Oh, he has blessed you. And he will bless you tomorrow. And the morrow after that. And the morrow after that. His work, Lindsay, is blessedness. It's blessedness. When it breaks your heart, it's blessedness. When it causes you to look to him, it's blessedness. When it causes you to know your own heart and your own corruption, oh, what blessedness. He is that God who says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Moses, you, my law, say to Aaron, my priest for my people. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord keep thee. It's a promise. The Lord will keep you. He is ill kept who is his own keeper. He is even worse kept who has his brother for his keeper. But oh, how splendorously kept are they who have God for their keeper. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Temptations will come. The Lord will deliver you from evil. You will fall. Yes, you will fall. You will fall. How often we think. I've had conversations this week that have broken my heart for situations that I just never dreamed. Never dreamed would happen. Hear about your heart breaks and you weep. And you think, well, that won't happen to me. That's not what I'm going to do. And God will give you to know your heart like he did Hezekiah. Because you got to know your heart. You got to know your heart. Don't forget what you are. You know, Mark Medley, I caught your eye there, didn't I? Don't forget what you are. You're just exactly what you always were. Just exactly what you always were. Just as corrupt and vile and ungodly, sinful, evil, wretched as you can possibly be. Hasn't changed a bit. And God will, God make you never forget that. And the way he does that is he will leave Hezekiah to himself. And make him know what's in his heart. And so he turns from us. And in the matter of temptation and trial, leaves us to ourselves. And we fall. And fall. And fall. And suddenly we say and do and think things. You didn't think yesterday it happened. You didn't imagine it happened yesterday. And here I am in this pit. In this state of godless wretchedness. And you hate yourself and hate everything around you. And the Lord comes and he restores you 7 times a day. The righteous fall 7 times a day. And the Lord lifts him up 7 times a day. Because he promised, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Now look at the next blessing. This is the blessing of God the Son, our blessed Savior. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. That expression speaks of assured reconciliation. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. God was in Christ reconciling his elect to himself. Not imputing our trespasses to us, but charging his Son with our sin when he was made sin for us and forgiving us of sin, so that the Lord God has reconciled us to his Son before ever we came into this world. But I didn't know anything about it until God sent his Son, the power of his Spirit, and caused his face to shine upon me in his Son. And now he makes himself known as my God and my Father through Christ his Son, revealing his Son in me, revealing in me his word of grace and salvation in his Son, giving me faith in his Son, and believing on his Son, trusting Christ. I have assurance that God, my Father, smiles on me. He smiles on me. He smiles on me as he smiles on his Son. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. Pastor, how do you know that's what that means? Let's see if I can demonstrate it to you. When you pick up that baby, no, that won't quite do. It's just not quite the same. When you pick up that grandbaby and you hold that grandbaby in your arms for the first time, and suddenly something comes across your face that you just can't hide. Your eyes sparkle, and your mouth turns upward, and you just smile with all the delight, all the pleasure. Maybe the reason is, with the grandbaby, I don't have any responsibility. All I got to do is just be grandpa. But with the babies, you smile at them and you weep, because now I've got to raise this thing. Now I've got to feed it, take care of it, provide for it. The grandbaby, all I got to do is just smile at it. And you pick that baby up, and there's nothing but approval and delight. Nothing but approval and delight. Hear me, children of God. Because of Christ's perfect atonement, because of his shed blood at Calvary, because of his perfect obedience, because of his perfect righteousness, because when he died, we died. When he lived, we lived. When he arose, we arose. Because God looks on his Son in heaven. What do you see on his face? What do you see on his face? I don't see anything but a sparkle of delight in his eye, a smile on his lips, beaming with delight on his Son. This is what I wanted. This is what I required. This is what I demand. Here, my Son. And it looks on me and says, this is what I wanted. This is what I required. This is what I demand. This is what I'm pleased with. Don Fortner, my Son. My obedient, sinless, holy Son. All right, here's the third blessing. Here's the blessing of God, the Holy Ghost. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The long and short of that is just this. The Lord give you a conscious, delightful sense of his gracious favor. Give you peace. Peace. A conscious, delightful sense of his gracious favor. The Lord give you peace. No wonder our Savior calls the Spirit of God the Comforter. When the Comforter's come, he'll convince you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He'll give you peace. I'll give you my peace. The peace that I have with my Father when I leave this body and go to my Father, having fully accomplished the will of my Father in the saving of my people by the sacrifice of myself. My peace I give to you. The peace I have at the throne of God, of acceptance with God, of pleasing God, my peace I give to you. Oh. We are always reconciled to God, but we don't always know it. I mean by that we're not always aware of it. It's not always sunshine in our souls. Evening and morning were the first day, and our evenings and mornings come with every day. Every day has its darkness, and every day its light. Every day its joy, and every day its sorrow. Every day it's pain, and every day it's pleasure. But God the Holy Ghost comes, and he causes us to have a conscious, delightful sense of God's gracious favor in the darkness, in the pain, and in the sorrow. Oh, what a blessing it is when the Spirit of God sheds abroad the love of Christ in our hearts. this blessing David craved when he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And though we transgress, though we sin, and surely we do, and surely we will, the Lord God will yet lift up his countenance upon thee, and when he does, he will give thee peace. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you for the blessedness. There's no peace like the peace we have with God, and no peace with God like that which comes from a sense of assured love, assured pardon, assured grace, assured salvation. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace that passeth understanding. Peace no man can explain and no man can understand. Just peace. Because he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now one last thing. Look at verse 27. Number 6, 27. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. They shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Our great high priest, our Aaron, says in Revelation 3:12, I will write upon him my new name. Look at that article in the bulletin on Revelation 3:12, and you'll see what he's talking about here. In number 6, they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Put my name on them, they're my property. Put my name on them, they're under my care. Put my name on them, they're accepted forever. What name do we have as God's children? What name of God is there that's ours? Look through the scriptures, you'll find just one. You'll only find one. One name of God that's our name. His name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And he puts his name on us. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And he says, because Don's name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, I will bless him. Because your name, children of Israel, my covenant people, is Jehovah Tsidkenu, I will bless you. They shall have their troubles, but I'll bless them through their troubles. They'll have their heartaches, but I'll bless them in their heartaches. They'll have their weaknesses, but I'll bless them in spite of their weaknesses. They'll have their bereavements, but I will bless them in their bereavements. The world may curse them, but I'll bless them. And none can curse whom I've blessed. They may die, but I'll bless them in death. And when all is done that must be done, I will bless them. Oh, how he will bless us then. This is God's word to you. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Soon he will lift up his countenance upon us in the glory of heaven, and we shall see him face to face. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. Amen. Amen. God make this blessedness yours. Give you faith right now in Christ the Lord. And go home today blessed of God. Blessed of God. Blessed of God. Amen.